gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray, gives you the fastest decongestant possible.
You'd think after all my years in this city, I could cross the street alone.
Yeah, well, you got to keep your mind on it.
Yeah, that's for sure. No. I was thinking about Kate down in Jamaica now.
You heard from her yet?
Well, she just left, for heaven's sake.
Oh, that's right. Hey, coming to my concert tonight?
Wouldn't miss. But I thought I'd drop by the studio club first and see if there are any messages or mail for Kate.
Oh, that is being attended to.
Oh, fine. You?
No, we have a visitor.
What does that mean?
Nancy is back.
Nancy?
Nancy Reed from Bellhaven, otherwise known as Miss Noodlehead.
Oh, Kate's niece?
Mm-hmm, one and the same.
Why, she was a girlfriend of yours, Jeff.
In my playpen days.
Oh, come on, Jeff, I bet you were glad to see her. Hey, where's she staying?
In Kate's room for the duration.
Well, now, that's nice.
Terrific.
Jeff, I thought you were crazy about Nancy.
You don't read me, Earth Mother. I simply asked her once if she'd like to share a loft with me.
Yeah, just like that, huh?
Yeah, simple. I'm a simple guy. Well, she went home to Bellhaven.
Yeah, I'm with her. Hey, I'll drop in and see her.
I'd advised against her.
Well, I can't now. Anyway, I got a dinner date before your concert. Jeff, if you see Nancy, will you tell her I'll be by tomorrow?
We communicate only by satellite.
Well, it might make Kate happy if we both took an interest.
I bow to your wisdom, Earth Mother, but I'll leave it all to you. Say, how long is Kate going to be away?
Oh, I'd like to know myself.
Oh? Didn't she tell you?
Well, I don't think she knows.
This isn't a vacation, is it?
No, Jeff, it isn't.
It's got something to do with her late husband.
Yeah.
Do you know what?
Well, I can't talk about it, Jeff.
You mean you don't know, or it's confidential?
I mean I can't talk about it. It's Kate's private business.
Right on. But look, if she gets into any trouble,
she'll let us know. That's all I can say.
You can say one more thing. Or maybe you think I'm too much of a kid to know.
I don't think you're too much of a kid, Jeff. I just know what Kate wants.
Where is she going in Jamaica?
A place called Glory Point. Oh, come on in, Jeff. The door's open.
I can see that, but I'm not coming in. I've got a message.
Oh, good. I've been wanting one. Is somebody on the phone?
No.
Well, don't just stand out there and holler it. Come on in.
You know Trudy Kiefer?
Yeah.
Well, she'll be by to see you tomorrow.
You're kidding.
Trudy's okay. She's a friend of Kate's.
But she's middle-aged and female.
And a good babysitter.
Ugh, Jeff Clark, you are still impossible. Look, I have lived since I saw you, but it is quite obvious that you haven't.
Nope, I curl up and live on my summer fat.
Hey, come on in and see my ruins.
Your what?
Come on, look at that poster. It takes up one whole wall. I found it today.
It's ruins, all right. What of?
I don't know. It's just ruins. Sort of moldy walls and vines and stuff, like my life. There's a little tear up there over the tower. That's good. You know, I figured that's where the new light will come through. I put it up with rubber cement. It's forever.
How is Kate going to get it down?
You know something, Jeff?
Yeah, I got to get out of here.
No, wait. Listen, I've got a hunch.
That's what I mean.
No, I don't think Kate will ever come back to this room.
Are you crazy?
You know where she's gone?
To, Jamaica.
You know why?
I didn't ask her.
You want to know why I don't think Kate will ever come back here?
Nope.
Kate is a widow. Her husband is dead.
I know.
Yeah, well, she used to sail with Tom a lot down around Jamaica.
So what?
Well, that's why she's gone back there.
Okay.
You see, Tom was into drugs.
Huh?
It was a family scandal. Us kids weren't supposed to know he mainlined.
Is, this for real?
Why would I make it up? Look, I think Kate's gone back to Jamaica to relive her happy past with Tom and, you know, try to forget the rest.
When was he into drugs?
Oh, while they were married. You know, some people at home said he pushed them, but I never believed that. Oh, God, he was a gorgeous guy.
Nancy, why are you telling me this?
Because you know Kate and I thought you were interested.
Maybe, but I wouldn't go around saying things like that about Kate.
It's not about Kate. It is about her late husband, and everybody knew it.
Just don't talk about it.
You are so immature. Okay, maybe Kate's gone to Jamaica to forget her past. Maybe she's having dinner right now under the moon with a romantic new guy.
Oh, shut up!
What is with you, Jack?
Look, I just said shut up! Look, I've got to change my sneakers for the concert tonight.
Can I come?
For $3, anybody can. Look, Nancy, don't go around saying things like that about Kate's husband again. Even if it is true, you don't know what you're talking about.
Shall we go in, Kate?
Oh, I had hoped to meet Miss Allen.
My aunt is indisposed this evening.
Oh, I'm sorry.
While we're on the subject, I think I should tell you that my dear aunt is not as young as she used to be. She's given at times to a certain instability. Let's go into dinner. That is, unless you object to dining with me alone.
Well, of course not, Mr. Pomeroy.
I thought we'd agreed to first names.
Well, I would like to see Miss Ellen. Would it be possible after dinner?
No, we're a little late tonight. I'm afraid she will have retired.
Oh, well, then could I see her now just for a moment?
I've told you, my dear, she's indisposed.
But when we arrived, I saw her standing upstairs at a lighted window.
That was Hannah, my aunt's companion.
No, she waved at me, but besides, the light was on her white hair, and Hannah's hair is dark.
I had no idea that our charming young guest was so observant and so strong-minded. Shall we go into the dining room?
If you wish.
This part of the house was added about 100 years ago. The wing where you're staying is the oldest.
It's very quiet.
Well, the walls are 3 feet thick. Here you are.
Thank you. Well, the table is set for four.
So it is.
Yes, Mr. Pomeroy?
Bess, I told Esmond to remove these place settings. Why are they still here?
I don't know, sir. Miss Ellen...
Miss Ellen is not coming down. Take them away.
Oh, yes, sir.
That will do, Bess. Now we'd like dinner.
Who was the fourth person to be?
Oh, Hannah sometimes dines with us. One would think two women could run this house properly. I must say, Kate, you make a lovely dinner companion.
Thank you. Lewis, you said when we arrived that you remembered my husband coming here to Glory Hall.
Oh, I remember the name, my dear. Wakefield, Tom, was it not?
Yes.
Yes, I really forget the particulars. But we have a guest book. You can look at it before you leave tomorrow.
Oh, I'd like that.
If I can find it. We have very few guests now. So many people like your husband found their way here when they anchored in Kay Harbor that it became quite a nuisance. I'm not referring to your husband, of course. I don't really recall him.
Well, perhaps Miss Ellen does.
Kate, my dear girl, you seem determined to be contrary.
Because I don't understand. I came here because you and Miss Ellen invited me, and I haven't even seen her yet.
Well, perhaps tomorrow before you go back to Kingston.
Oh, I'm not going back to Kingston.
Where do you plan to go?
To a place Tom and I knew. Lime Tree Lodge, about 10 miles from here. Do you know it? Lewis, do you know Lime Tree Lodge? What's that tapping?
Excuse me.
Sit down, Lewis.
You're Miss Pomeroy.
Yes. And you're Kate Wakefield. Tom's Kate.
Please excuse my aunt.
I knew you'd come back.
Good evening. I'm so glad you felt well enough to come
here. Please, come in here.
I'm quite well. I didn't take the sedative you sent up, Lewis. I want to see this girl.
And I'm very glad to see you, Miss Pomeroy.
What lies has Lewis been telling you?
Mm-hmm.
This is your roving reporter, about to interview a nose.
How do I look?
You're not on TV, nose. This is for radio.
But how do I sound?
Pretty stuffy. Why don't you use four-way nasal spray?
Is four-way the leading brand?
Not yet, nose.
Then why should I use it?
Because you can't buy faster decongestant relief than four-way nasal spray. And four-way can cost a lot less than the leading brand. A lot less. Here, just follow the directions.
Hey, that's a blast. You can interview me now.
Thanks, nose, but I just did.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Faces of Love has been brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be. All my kind listeners will this day listen to a sly bit of bargaining written by myself, William Makepeace Thackeray, author of this novel, this Vanity Fair. You are to picture Becky Sharp in the garret where once she lived. She is in this shabby house to induce her former landlady not to divulge to Mrs. Bute Crawley the life lived here by Becky and her father. Mrs. Ricketts not yet has climbed the many stairs to this eagle's nest. Becky stands alone with Giles.
You lived here, Miss Becky?
Yes.
Oh, just so...
Say, so ugly.
Oh, miss. In winter, always was it cold like this? No grate, no stove?
Always?
What be that big window in the room?
But oh, it's called a skylight. Papa put it there. He needed a special light for his painting.
Ah, my gracious. Never before looked out a window up above and seen the sky. Oh, Miss Becky, it fair breaks my heart to think of you in a place like this. It is ugly. It is cold. And you so pretty and warm.
No, to me it wasn't ugly. I knew nothing else. I thought it beautiful. Papa painted wonderful bright murals on the walls. It was gone now, all gone. Oh, what idiot lived here since and painted over with horrid brown paint? Oh, never mind. I see it the way it used to be. At night we could see the stars. Papa said they were diamonds and one day they'd come down from the sky and be mine. Diamonds on my fingers, diamonds round my neck, diamonds beyond counting. We hardly had bread to eat and he talked of diamonds.
You was hungry?
Oh, more often than not. I begged pennies in the village when I was but a poppet of 4 or 5.
The pennies bought more gin and bun. Oh, miss, I can't hardly bear it. How could he buy gin when his wee little one was hungry?
I'll not hear a word against Papa. He gave me better than buns. Joy he gave to me. Laughter. Love. And how not to be afraid.
Oh, and you ain't. Not of anything.
Oh, yes, of poverty. He taught me that too, though it might be better had he not. Taught me by saying over and over that one day I'd be rich. He painted a picture just there on the wall of Becky Sharp, a woman grown with a little diamond tiara on her curls, a brocade dress embroidered with jewels. He promised I'd be rich, and I promised myself.
Tis why tis so important to him.
Oh, I shall keep his promise and mine.
Becky? Becky Sharp!
Come along up, Mrs. Ricketts. But
I can't keep the promises if she tells Mrs. Bute of my childhood and Mrs. Bute tells Mrs. Crawley. Never will Matilda Crawley forgive me, never take Rawdon and me back. There'll be no money for us at all.
Well, what's wrong to tell that you was poor?
Ah, there's more, and not pretty.
Oh, them steps will be the death of me one day.
Oh, dear, come, sit down. Sit down.
Oh, up here don't look like when you was here, eh?
No, not.
Oh, Becky Sharp, them £30 you put in your hand for all the rent owed me for this place, I'm beholden to you, I am. Though 'twas proper owed me. You done me a service, yes you have.
Ah, well, now, will you do me one?
I will. You've but to ask.
I do ask. A lady will come here tomorrow, the next day. She'll question you about my childhood. Please, will you not tell her what it was like? I beg you to say that I was raised most properly.
Well, now, proper is it? I'm not to say your father didn't wed your mother till just afore you was born.
No, of all things, not that.
Now, what a queer little wild vixen you was. How you were drunk gin with your papa, and when you turned from girl to woman, you was modeled for other artists, and you with not a stitch on.
Miss Becky. Mrs. Ricketts, not one word of that, please. Not one word.
Well, what am I to say, then? I could say you was a merry little thing in the tavern, kept all the men laughing, you and your jokes, and dancing and singing.
Not in the tavern, here.
Important to you, all this, is it?
Terribly important. You said you were beholden to me. Will you do this for me?
Will cost me dear to go against me religion and tell lies.
Oh, Mrs. Ricketts, you never went to church in your life.
That ain't neither here nor there. Cost me dear, I said. 'Twill cost you dear to pay for them lies.
Another £10? Then would your lies be easier to tell?
Likely not easy enough.
15?
You'd not like me to say now, would you, how your mama, afore she died, had many a lover here in this very attic?
20.
30. I like the 30 you give me afore. I'm in the habit of 30. Oh, the pretty lies I'll tell the lady for them £30.
Done. Do not fail me, Mrs. Ricketts. Pray, do not, or I shall surely reap the whirlwind.
Hi, I'm Sandy Wright. In 1966, I was in a Miss Clairol commercial. Then it was, does she or doesn't she? Today, she still does. I love my hair. After 9 years, yes, 9 years of using Miss Clairol cream formula, it's in great condition. Terrific body, easy to manage, and if I have any gray, who knows?
Miss Clairol cream formula. It's the hair color professionals use. The best it can be, at any price. Look for Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
If you take Tylenol instead of aspirin for headache, now you can get the exact same relief with Daytrill and get a dollar refund besides. Buy Daytrill in 100 or 250 tablet size and Bristol-Myers will refund you $1. Send name and address and Daytrill carton to Daytrill, Box 836, Farmingdale, New York, 11735 and get a dollar back. Offer good on one bottle only, expires April 30th, 1976. So try Daytrill now and get a dollar back.
I have had quite enough of Mrs. Ricketts, thank you very much. Why, Joe, we shall go to Queen's Crawley, though it may not be any more palatable. Sir Pitt Crawley is in the hen house. Do you ask why a baronet frequents a hen house? No doubt to count his chickens before they're hatched. And why is a clergyman of the Church of England just now rushing into that hen house? Let the Reverend Bute himself answer.
Pitt! Pitt!
Yes? What the devil are you here for?
Oh,
fetch your bread and butter for God's sake before you try to talk.
Oh, thank you. Very kind. Been running.
Kind may I. Don't need you with an apoplexy in the chicken house. What brings you? Not naught to say to you, nor you to me.
No, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall.
Oh, damn it, Bute, if you're here to preachify at me, you can take yourself off. Put a hex on me hens, you will. You'll not lay eggs for a month.
Oh, not preach to you, Pip. It is Matilda. She's dying.
What? What's this?
Oh, this note from Mrs. Bute. Read it.
Bute, come at once. Make haste. Do not delay. Come, Mrs. Bute. She don't say Matilda's done for. Oh,
Martha'd not send for me, was she not? I need it for the last rite.
Ah, Matilda always is dying and never does.
Oh, shame. Your own sister.
Half-sister. And half's more than sufficient.
She's dying, I tell you. Oh, pride goeth before destruction. And Matilda's destroyed. A haughty spirit before a fall. Matilda's haughty spirit has fallen.
Me hen likes your preachy fine. Leg and egg, she did.
Oh, Pitt, in the name of God, don't stand about. Set your traps. We need to be off.
We? No.
You have her die, and you not at the bedside.
Too damn stubborn to die. Likes attention is all. She'll not get it from me. After what she let Becky Sharp go and do.
Miss Sharp?
You've not heard? Then for once I'll thank you to quote the Bible on the subject I tell you now. Becky Sharp is Mrs. Rawdon Crawley.
You jest.
Tis true. Tis done. Quote, hang it, quote.
Hosea 8. They have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind.
Reap the whirlwind. Sure they will, by God. They'll reap the whirlwind. Now be off. Sick of the sight of you.
Oh, but you'll not come.
I'll not go near that house nor the dumb woman that took Becky away from here. Oh. Let Matilda reap the whirlwind as well.
There is indeed a whirlwind, sir. But who will reap it is not for me to say. Not yet. But soon, I entreat you, not be absent. I am, you know I am, your obedient servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
I know we share everything, hon, but next time, could you keep your cold to yourself?
This was your cold day. You sneezed first.
You were sniffling before that. Think of the money we spend on nasal sprays.
That's why I bought four-way nasal spray today. It can cost a lot less than the leading brand, a lot less.
Yeah?
And you can't buy faster decongestant relief than four-way. Here, just follow the directions.
Hey, that's a blast.
I know. I bought four-way for me, too. And think how much we can save on four-way with all the colds you get.
You mean all the colds you give me?
How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays. And Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On. Why settle for less?
The Author Studio has been brought to you by Daytrill, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the little things in life. Brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Bob?
Mm-hmm. What?
You want to lower the newspaper just 6 inches so I can feel I'm talking to a human being? So I can see your face?
Why, sure. I certainly would not want to deprive you of that, not when I'm so breathtakingly handsome.
Oh, that's true. Thank you.
What's on your mind, Peggy?
You know, we haven't heard from your folks since Christmas.
Oh, yes. Oh, haven't we?
No, I haven't talked to either your mother or your father.
How come you haven't called Mother?
Well, of course, I could ask you the same question, dear. She's your mother.
Okay, okay.
Actually, I don't usually call her because she said she would rather call us. I seem to get her at all the wrong times when I call. She's making bread or busy with something.
Oh, I'm sure they're all right, or we'd have heard.
I expect they are. But when I was doing dishes just now, I thought, gee, it's been some time since we talked to Bob's folks.
Maybe Mother hasn't had anything to say.
Your mother? Never knew her at a loss for words.
No, I just meant that maybe nothing's happened in the routine of their life. Nothing to phone about.
Bob, your mother usually calls us at least once a week on Sunday when it's cheaper.
Well, why don't you give them a call now?
Well, it'd be nicer if you phoned. Your mother would rather talk to you than to me.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Oh, no, it isn't. It's natural. You're her son, now.
All right. As soon as I finish the paper.
Then you'll turn on TV or you'll be too sleepy and it'll be late. And you know they go to bed by 9 most of the time.
Oh, all right. What's the number?
Oh, honestly, dear, you ought to know it. Anyhow, it's right there on the phone. It's taped to the front of the phone book.
Oh, yeah. I don't have anything to say, really.
Oh, for goodness sake, tell her about Aunt Maggie going back to Montana to rent her house. Why, we should have called her to tell her that Aunt Maggie broke her leg after she got there. My heavens.
Oh, golly, yes.
Well, tell her I finally got the shower curtain I ordered months ago.
Oh, wait a minute. You can tell her that sort of stuff.
Well, all right.
I'll just say hello and then give the phone over to you. You women like to gab on the phone more than men do.
Hello?
Mother? Hello, how are you?
Who is this?
Oh, Mother, come on now. What do you mean, who is this?
Robert?
Yes, who else?
Well, it's been so long since I heard your voice, I forgot what it sounded like.
Mother, you were over here at Christmas only a month ago.
Well, a lot can happen in a month, especially with all the icy sidewalks. Your father could have fallen down, or I could. You wouldn't have known a thing about it.
Yeah, well, you didn't, did you?
No, but I just said something could have happened.
What's the matter? You mad about something, Mother?
No, I'm not mad.
You sound mad.
Well, I can't help how I sound. I'm talking in my normal voice.
No, you're not, Mother. You're mad about something. Now, what is it?
If you don't know, then I'm certainly not going to tell you.
Mother.
What's the matter, Bob?
Mother, I do not know what you're talking about, and since this is long distance, I'm not going to stand here playing some guessing game.
It seems very peculiar that neither you nor Peg have bothered to phone us.
Mother, you told Peg you preferred to call us, and Peg mentioned just now that you hadn't called, which we thought was kind of funny, so that's why I decided to give you a ring. So here I am, I'm calling. Now, how are you?
Well, I'm very well, thank you.
How's Dad?
He's very well, thank you.
Good.
That is, we're as well as can be expected.
What does that mean, Mother?
It means that when you get older and your children are gone and holidays come around, it's nice to hear from your children.
Hear from us? But you were here for Christmas.
We were not there on New Year's.
Oh, well, for Pete's sake, did you want to be? Peg and I never thought to ask you because we weren't going to celebrate anyway. We decided years ago never to go out on New Year's with all the drunken drivers. Actually, we went to bed long before midnight.
Well, no, your father and I never liked to go out on New Year's either.
Well, then what's eating you, Mother?
I don't like that expression, Robert.
Okay, I'm sorry. What is bothering you, Mother?
Oh, nothing is bothering me. Your father and I just thought it would be nice if you had at least phoned us to say Happy New Year.
Oh. Well, I'm sorry, Mother. We never thought about it.
I know, obviously.
Mother, we went to bed. We were asleep at midnight.
On New Year's Day, your father kept saying, isn't it funny that Bob and Peg haven't called to wish us a Happy New Year? I said, oh, they're probably too busy entertaining or going to lots of parties and having a good time to think about phoning.
Mother, we didn't do a thing New Year's Day.
Well, we called you and there was no answer.
Oh. Oh, well, as a matter of fact, I guess we did go over to one open house, which was so crowded we left and came home.
Well, I hope you had a good time.
As a matter of fact, we didn't have a good time, Mother. That's why we came on home. Look, I'm very sorry, really. I realize that you...
It's quite all right. I realize that you have a life of your own to lead now. It's just that your father was so disappointed.
Let me talk to him, Mother.
No, he's in bed with a bad back, and he's just calling for me to get the heating pad, which is what I was looking for when you phoned. You called at rather a bad time.
I'm sorry.
No sense running up your bill.
Never mind that. Peg wants to talk to you.
I can't talk anymore. Right now, your father's calling me.
Well, we'll call you back then.
No, we'll talk Sunday. I'll call you.
You sure now? I mean...
Yes, I remember these things. Happy New Year to you, and Peg, too.
Happy New Year to you, Mother, and Dad. Listen...
Goodbye, Robert.
Well, what was that all about? Oh, now, don't slam your fist into the wall like that. You'll just hurt your hand. What was the matter?
As soon as I get control of myself, I'll tell you. Get me a drink.
That is two straight scotches you've thrown down. You're going to be so sick, Bob, you can't drink like that. Now, at least mix them with some soda or water or something.
My mother and Dad were here Christmas. When they left, we said Happy New Year to them then.
Well, I suppose it's not the same thing.
Oh, you should have heard, Mother. You'd think the world had come to an end just because we didn't phone and wish them a Happy New Year.
Well, I tried to call my mother that day, but the lines were so busy I couldn't get through. Next day, I forgot about it, so she's probably upset, too. Her last letter sounded a little stiff.
Well, at least your mother doesn't always make you feel so darn guilty.
Oh, mine's more subtle. She will wait until July, and then when I see her, she'll throw it in very casually. Oh, she'll say, did you by any chance call me on New Year's? I was out at a party.
Oh, why do parents do that?
Well, honey, they love us. They're lonesome. They can't get used to the fact that we're not a part of their daily lives anymore. I think it's quite understandable.
I know one thing. We are never going to act that way with our kids.
I hope not.
Oh, Lord, I feel so guilty.
Well, your mother's probably upset now, too. She probably made up her mind not to say anything, then she couldn't help herself. And now she's mad at herself.
I doubt that very much.
Oh, she loves you, and your dad loves you, now.
Funny way of showing love, making somebody feel like a heel.
Well, we should have called him sometime that New Year's weekend. It's my fault.
Oh, sweetheart, it's not your fault at all. They're my parents. But, boy, I am never going to act like that. Never, never, never.
You know, come to think about it, Debbie never called us either.
Debbie? Well, she went out to a party.
She went out New Year's Eve to a party, and then she stayed with Katie Slocum that night and all New Year's Day. And, in fact, Debbie didn't get home until Saturday when she changed her clothes and went out again and stayed with Janie until Sunday night.
So?
I knew where she was, but you know Debbie never once called us to wish us a Happy New Year.
Well, she's still living with us. This is her home.
She didn't even say Happy New Year. I remember thinking at the time that Debbie acted like this was a hotel, dashing in and out to change clothes for parties, barely saying hello, let alone Happy New Year.
Are you going
to
be like my mother?
Yes, probably, and hate myself for it. Even Tom didn't send a card or a letter or cablegram.
Well, Tom's on his way home from heaven knows where.
He couldn't have sent a card or a letter or a wire just saying Happy New Year. Debbie? Debbie? Did you come down here? Get me a drink.
You going to start something?
No, well, I'm just going to ask her one simple question. Maybe then we'll understand your parents better. Debbie!
I'm coming! What's the matter?
Nothing. I just want to ask you a simple question. We hardly saw you those 4 days of New Year's weekend. Now, I'm not scolding you. I'm just curious. Are you aware that not once did you say Happy New Year to us?
I didn't? Gosh, seems to me I said it to a million other people.
To a million other people, but you didn't think of saying it to your own mother who has sacrificed her time and effort for years, driving you back and forth from music lessons, dancing lessons.
Bob, what's the big deal? Happy New Year. I'm sorry. Gee, what did I do?
I'm sorry I called you downstairs. Debbie, go back up to your room.
Well, I have to because I have a test tomorrow. I'm really sorry. I don't really know what's going on. Happy New Year to you both. Boy.
I told you not to throw down those two straight scotches. Now, you can't drink like that.
Let's invite Mother and Dad over for dinner on Sunday.
Fine, I'll call in the morning. Did you say Happy New Year to me a month ago?
I think so. Didn't I?
I hope so.
Well, I guess you have to have children yourself to understand your own parents. You wonder if your kids don't even think about you, if they even love you. The time and effort and money they cost you, the heartache that they...
Honey, come on. Let me get you upstairs to bed.
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, Its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
Hi, I'm the teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair. Me, with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
The Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. Have and to hold, the story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Final Net, gives your hair a great, long-lasting hold.
Daddy?
Just the end, honey. I think you're going to be great.
Oh, there's Miss Hirons. She's the drama coach.
Oh.
Miss Hirons?
Oh, yes, Betsy.
I'd like you to meet my father, Miss Hirons.
How do you do, Dr. Foster?
Well, how do you do, Miss Hirons? I hope you don't mind. I slipped in the back of the auditorium.
Oh, not if Betsy doesn't mind. We're always happy to have the parents get involved.
Well, I think Barry's What Every Woman Knows is a very interesting choice.
Oh, it is particularly relevant today, isn't it? I think Betsy's going to be a great Maggie.
It's a very interesting character.
Betsy, would you please put these books on my desk for me?
Sure, Miss Hirons. I'll be right back, Daddy.
Right, honey.
Dr. Foster, I'm glad to have the chance to talk to you.
Oh, is there any problem?
I hope not. Betsy tells me Mrs. Foster doesn't really want her to be in the play.
Oh, well, I don't know that that's what Mrs. Foster
she
really...
She wanted me to know in case she had to drop out, or perhaps she thought I could deal with her mother's objections.
Oh, I see. Well, don't worry, Mrs. Hirons. I'll talk to Mrs. Foster. There shouldn't be any problem.
I certainly hope not. Betsy's perfect for the part, and I know she's happy in it.
Yes, she is.
Oh, would you excuse me? I see the custodian wants to lock up the auditorium.
Of course.
Good night, Miss Hirons.
Good night, Betsy. Good night, Dr. Foster.
Good night. Good night. Well, Betsy, all set to go?
Do you think we could stop by the ice cream palace?
Sure, but remember, once they fit your costume on you, you'd better not gain any weight.
I won't, I promise. I think the door's still open. Oh, yes.
Okay.
I wish Mom had come with you. Maybe then she'd feel different about my being in the play.
Oh, don't you worry, honey. You just go on doing it. I'll talk to your mother.
She was having lunch with Mrs. Sexton today.
Oh?
I don't know how it went.
Well, we'll find out, won't we?
The funny thing is, Janie Sexton says she didn't want the lead anyway.
She did? Does her mother know that?
Who knows? Who knows what parents know anyway, Daddy?
Do you think you could gift-wrap it for me, please?
Yes, of course, Mrs. Carter. Just a moment.
Oh, these baby sets are lovely. Who makes them?
Oh, the Jefferson Hospital Girls.
Oh, yes.
They do some very nice shawls, too.
I see, yes.
There you are, Mrs. Carter.
Oh, thank you. And goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh, Caroline.
Well, hello, Angela. Are you coming or going?
Oh, going, fortunately. It's the end of my day. Why are you here so late?
Well, I've just been to see an old friend.
Well, nothing serious, I hope.
Oh, no, just a checkup.
I had hoped to see Dr. Gonzalez, but he's not here.
Joe? Mm-hmm. No. It's his day off.
Well, I'll be back tomorrow. I promised my friend a special lunch to reward her for her checkup.
That's nice. Tell me, what do you hear from Lynn and Kurt?
Oh, they're having a great time in Aspen, according to Lynn.
When will they be back?
I don't know. Maybe when the snow melts. Oh, Angela, can I drop you somewhere?
Well, thank you, Caroline. You can. I'm on my way home, and I think it's on your way to River Run.
Good. Well, how's Emily?
She's all right.
Angela, isn't there anything that can be done for her?
I'm afraid not.
They can't operate.
Well, they could, but, well, the tumor is located right at the top of the spinal column.
Oh, dear.
And if they operate, well, there's a medical term, unacceptable deficits.
Well, just what does that mean?
Oh, here, let me hold the door for you.
Thank you. I'm parked right over there. Angela, you were saying...
Unacceptable deficits means the outcome of a medical procedure or surgical that leaves the patient in a very unfavorable situation.
Mm-hmm. And in Emily's case?
I'm afraid an operation would mean complete paralysis.
Oh, no. Poor Emily. I don't know how she lives with it.
She says, one day at a time.
If you take Tylenol instead of aspirin for headache, now you can get the exact same relief with Daytrill and get a dollar refund besides. Buy Daytrill in the 100 or 250 tablet size and Bristol-Myers will refund you $1. Send name, address, and Daytrill carton to Daytrill, Box 836, Farmingdale, New York, 11735. And get a dollar back. Offer good on one bottle only. Expires April 30th, 1976. So try Daytrill now and get a dollar back. Did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest-lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical, yet so effective.
Good morning, Angela.
Marge. Just on my way back to the nurse's station.
Could I see you for a minute?
Sure.
Oh, look. Here's the stairway.
What are we coming in here for? Marsh, this is very public. You're taking a terrible chance.
I don't care.
Oh, Marsh, you've got to be more responsible than that. Come on, darling.
I'll see you this afternoon.
Of course, at my place. Can't you wait?
Do I have a choice? Oh, you mean we can go now?
Sure, back to work. Life goes on at Jefferson.
It sure does.
Oh, Marsh.
I'm sorry to keep you waiting, Mrs. Carter.
Oh, that's quite all right, Dr. Gonzalez.
Do you want coffee?
Yes, thank you.
I was going to call you this afternoon.
Oh? Good news, I hope.
I think so.
Oh, Joe! I mean, Dr.
Oh, please. I would like for you to call me Joe.
And if you can, would you call me Caroline?
I think I can.
You are going to do it, then.
Yes. I talked to my father last night.
You called Mexico City?
Yes. I thought it was important enough to get his opinion.
And he thought you should take on the clinic, or at least...
Mm-hmm.
He didn't talk you out of it.
No, I had almost decided to do it, but I did want to know what he thought.
Well, then he was for it.
Yes. He put it very simply. He said, well, you're a doctor, and this will help you to be a doctor to many more people who need what you can do for them. How could you even think of refusing this good woman's kindness?
Oh, Joe!
Well, I hope you will meet him someday. And my mother, too.
Well, I'm sure I will. They must be very proud of you.
Yes, but they also expect much of me, too.
Well, now we begin. Gee, I wish we had champagne, but, here's to what... Oh, I know.
Something that will make a difference.
To the children's clinic. Something that will make a good difference.
Here, darling. Let me fasten that for you.
Oh, thank you, Marsh.
Oh, you know, when I'm not with you, I think of how your place looks. I see you in it.
I'm glad we can come here. I can't see us in a motel.
Oh, Angela, don't.
What's the matter?
I don't want you to think of us that way.
Aren't you being a little unrealistic?
Oh, well, perhaps, but when I'm with you, it seems so right. It's the way it's meant to be.
Tell me something.
If I can.
How do you manage to act as if we hadn't been together when you go home?
It's not easy.
That's not an answer, Marsh. Ginger's been jealous in the past for no reason, but now, when... Won't she really suspect something?
Well, it won't matter much longer.
What are you talking about?
I'm going to ask her for a divorce.
Marsh!
Angela, why are you surprised? Surely you didn't think I just wanted an affair with you, did you?
Well, I hadn't thought about it.
I want to marry you.
Well, it's too soon to think about that.
Why?
Darling, things are much too confused. I mean, Emily's condition... I can't imagine what she would think of this. After all, you're a doctor.
Well, what does that have to do with my personal life? And besides, your sister is a very understanding woman.
No, I don't want her to know about us.
Are you ashamed of what we feel for each other?
Oh, no. No, I just want it to be between us now, at least for a while.
All right. I can still get a divorce without involving you.
I wouldn't count on it, Marsh. Things just don't work out that way.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Finalnet sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Finalnet is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Finalnet go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Finalnet, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
As anyone knows, hair is only as beautiful as the condition it's in. Natural Wear Miss Clairol shampoo formula conditions while it colors, makes your hair healthy looking and manageable while it adds natural glowing color that covers gray. And it's so easy to use. Just shampoo it in for fresh, young color that stays color true week after week. For conditioning hair color, the best it can be, at any price, Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be.
And to Hold features William Redfield as Marsh, Patricia Wheel as Angela, Larry Haynes as Jason, Joyce Gordon as Emily, Sherita Bauer as Ginger, and Karen Green as Betsy. Also appearing were Gonzalo Madurga and Vicky Vola. Produced by Alan Potter, directed by Dick Cox, written by Mary Dornheim, and brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. This is Ken Roberts. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.